Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text, the gospel lesson from John chapter 6, read a few moments ago. And our Lord Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. This is our text. Actor Tony Randall, who many of you can remember for his famous role as Felix in The Odd Couple, he once had an experience that surely was the inspiration for a credit card commercial. You see, Randall was in a jewelry store in New York City, and the store's owner recognized him and became very excited. And he declared that Randall was his all-time favorite actor. And what a treat it would be if, for his wife, the man said, if she could talk to the Tony Randall. Well, Randall graciously agreed. And so the man called his wife, and Randall had a short, pleasant conversation with her as she gushed on and on about how wonderful he was. And finally, Randall came to the point of his visit to the jewelry store. You see, there was a gold necklace in the window that had caught his eye, and he'd like to buy it. Would the store owner accept a personal check? And the owner hesitated and then asked, do you have any identification? You see, recognition only goes so far. I mean, the store owner was ready to idolize Tony Randall, but he wasn't ready to trust him. You see where this is leading, don't you? Is it possible for someone to come into this house today? Is it somewhat possible for someone to come here today and worship Jesus, but still not trust him with their lives? You see, many people encountered Jesus and saw nothing special. Others were wowed by his miracles, but once Jesus started talking, telling them that the source of his miracles is Jehovah God, the people stop listening, and they start arguing. And you know what an argument is, don't you? It's when two people shout conflicting opinions at one another without listening to one another. Pastor John Cramp said that his grandmother had a unique way of ending arguments with her spouse. When grandma got tired of listening to her husband, she would just turn off her hearing aid. As he said, you know, grandmother refused to hear anything that she didn't want to hear. And I know people like that, don't you? You see, the people around Jesus, they don't want to hear that he is God in the flesh. They don't want to hear that he is the true bread of life, that he is the only way to salvation and eternal life. They've turned off their hearing aids at this point because the information is just too radical. And they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he then say, I came down from heaven? You know, that's a reasonable question. I mean, if a kid from around here claimed to have visited heaven, most of us would laugh in his face. Remember, Jesus wasn't saying that he had just had a vision of heaven. I mean, many respected prophets of old claimed that. But no, Jesus was saying that he had actually come down from heaven. And so he was qualified to speak about it. And that's the part that's difficult to swallow. Then and now. Because you see, Jesus changes our ideas about God. After they had been with Jesus and heard him teach, then saw him die and on the third day rise from the dead, the disciples could never again think of God in the same way. You see, God wasn't the God that they had been taught about as little children. See, having been with Jesus, God now had a human face for the disciples, and it was Jesus' face. I mean, why? You think about it, why would the God of power and might limit himself with human flesh? How could the awesome and eternal I Am be contained in a weak and decaying body? And the people that Jesus was speaking to, I mean, they lived hard lives of constant physical labor, and they dreamed of being released from the prison of the human body. So why would God dignify the body by taking up residence in it? And the answer to that, of course, is to save us. In order to save us from this body of death, God took on the same limited body. He knows our aches and our pains and our weaknesses. And he's sympathetic to our struggles. And in Jesus, we see just how much God loves us. We see how far God would go in order to communicate that love. And in this way, Jesus changes not only our ideas about God, but Jesus changes our relationship with God. You see, up until now, the people of Israel have been worshiping and serving God. But now, it's time for them to know God. Author Brooke Wilkinson claimed that most Christians fall into one of two categories. There are those who have a relationship with God and those who have a responsibility to God. And those Christians who have a relationship with God look to their faith for the answers to life's questions. And they don't let peer pressure dictate their morality. And they worship sincerely and joyfully. And they find fulfillment in serving others. But those Christians who just have a responsibility to God, they approach their faith as an obligation. They attend church because it's the right thing to do on Sunday. They serve on a committee because they think it's expected of them. And their faith doesn't really make a significant impact on their priorities or their relationships or their lifestyle. But I want you to know that there is joy and fulfillment in having a relationship with God. That we were made to know God. We were made to be filled with God's glory. And anything less than that divine relationship leaves us restless and discontent and empty and anxious. See, Jesus knew that every human heart is filled with the longing for communion with God. He was there. After all, he was there when the human heart was conceived. And none of its complexities surprise him. And he is offering what we really want. And the way to God is through Jesus. For he says, "Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." Everyone who truly wants to know God will come to Jesus because he is the full revelation of who God is and of what God desires. But to truly know God, God's Spirit must live in us. You see, the people who followed Jesus, oh, they knew a lot about God, but their reaction to Jesus' words shows that they really didn't understand God. I mean, Jesus shocked them when he said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." You see, bread doesn't serve any purpose unless it's consumed. And then it serves to nourish and to give energy to our bodies. You see, it's not enough to know that Jesus is Lord, because the Bible tells us that even Satan acknowledges that truth. But to truly know him, we must take him into our own lives and let his Holy Spirit transform us from the inside out. We need to go beyond knowledge to experience. And his Spirit in us must give our lives new energy and new purpose and new power. And that's the promise of abundant life now and the promise of eternal life later. When philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson's son died, Emerson searched everywhere for comfort. You know, his friends often quoted the Bible to him, but Emerson found no comfort in that. He sensed that his friends were simply just reciting words, but the true presence and power of God was missing from their living. And at one point, he pleaded with some friends. He says, "Tell me what you know, not what you've heard, not what you've learned, not what others have told you. Tell me what you really know about God." Could you do that if a friend asked you to? Could you tell them out of your own personal experience what you really know about God? Have you really experienced him? You see, the only way to know God is to experience a new birth through Jesus Christ. And it's through God's Spirit living in you that you can know abundant life now and eternal life in the future. The sermon was titled, "Do You Know This Man?" If he came to you in the flesh, would we have to have some identification? Or would we know him so well that we could recognize him anywhere? You see, Jesus changes our ideas about God. And Jesus makes it possible for us, for you and I personally, to have a relationship with God. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, he makes it possible for us to know God in such a way that we could share him with others. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.